Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. We love getting to do this program right here just for you, wherever you are, auto, home, work, park, picnic, all those things. Wherever you are, we're glad that we get to be with you. And when I say we, I'm talking about Dr. Jill Hubbard, who has been with us almost 20 years, Jill?
Well, on radio, 22, but with New Life, 22. Forever, Steve.
Yeah, forever. And then Milan Yurkovich is 19, Milan?
Well, it's 18 and a half years right now. And a half. I've been on radio. It's hard to believe.
I know.
I was younger then.
Yes, so was I.
And the way it got started.
One of the young ones.
The way it got started was, you know, my assistant Betty said after my previous wife left, said, you need some help, and I've heard Milan Yurkovich can really help you. And you did, and I wanted other people to experience that help. And here we are 18 years later. That's pretty bizarre, or 18 and a half.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, well, this weekend, you've probably heard this, it is Courageous Parenting Weekend. And we're going to close that registration about noon Central Time tomorrow. And, you know, a lot of times you take these feelings of failure on when those adult children make some choices you don't particularly like. But guys, kids aren't robots. And you can be the greatest parent ever to one child. You do the same thing for the other, and it has the exact opposite outcome.
I think, go ahead. Okay, I just think courageous parenting has to be able to say, I've done the best I can do. We did our best. Our children have to learn the ups and downs of life, and they're going to have to also make their right choices themselves to navigate. Because as we said on another show this week, adulting is really hard. And so they're going to have to make some of their own decisions. And that's part of the courage, is to tolerate that.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Because kids struggling doesn't necessarily mean you've done it wrong.
Good point.
Right? Because there are so many variables and factors that come into play. And they do start making some of their own choices, right? And so to be able, like you said, to tolerate and to be there with them, but to shift into a new role, I think is really important.
Right.
Well, how about this? How about get out of your feelings about failure about yourself and start researching, how in the world could I make it better? How could I help them at this stage rather than hurt? For instance, if they've rebelled against everything you taught them and everything you're around them, every time you're around them, you're telling them the things they rebelled against. Well, that's not going to be very helpful. But if you're willing to listen, and listen to hard things that, you know, you don't agree with, and you don't cause a big conflict over it, then maybe they're more willing to listen to you next time. All sorts of things you can do. We're going to talk about that in our Courageous Parenting Workshop this weekend. You can still sign up, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, to do that. In the meantime, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. And that's coming right up after this. If you need help, though, in the meantime, 1-800-NEW-LIFE has been and always will be, I think, our emergency help number. You don't even have to have emergency, just want the help. And, of course, newlife.com, right there for anybody and everybody that needs it. But in the meantime, we'll take a break. and come right back. If you have not heard about Lumina, go to our website. It's an event. It's a conference for women, November 3rd and 4th, and it's held at the Museum of the Bible, and we would love to see you there. You can go on the website and look for Lumina.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich, and all of us parents making mistakes, doing things right, just like the rest of us do. But right now, I'm going to go to Eileen. She lives in Tustin, California, listens to the great station KKLA, and let's talk with Eileen. How are you, Eileen? And thanks for calling.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Mylon. Hi, hi, Dr. Jill. Thank you so much. You're all such wonderful. You're wise owls and full of God's love. You're Christ ambassadors. You save so many lives. God bless you. Many lives are being reconstructed because of all of you. You're doing great, mighty, heavenly work, and you're just blessing to this world.
Well, we are so thank you for that. We're still going to be really tough on you. Just kidding. All right.
Oh, so, please.
How can we help today?
Tough love. Oh, please. You have extended me such. You have given me such golden advice when I called two times. One was about my mother. Three years ago. So she's in town. My mother usually lives in Hawaii, but she's in California just in the summer. And the last time she was here was 2019. Now the situation is she's divorced. She's gone through childhood trauma, marriage trauma, adolescent trauma, and she claims to be a Christian, but she's extremely she's got a lot of anger, bitterness, a resentment, jealousy, hatred in her heart. And the number one person she hates is my dad, and probably along with him, it's me. So I'm up there. And she's been hurling insults, slandering me to her friends, to my friends, to people I had relationships with in the past. For years, for decades, she's been doing that. And it's been escalating. Despite all that, I still try to love and forgive. I've broken up into tears in church. I've been a Christian since about 6 or 7. And honestly, if it wasn't for God's love, I said, I don't want to have anything to do with her. Because of all people, I've been hurt by her the most.
Well, yeah. Well, let me ask you this, if you've thought about this. You know, sometimes in dating, we suggest people, well, maybe because of that you don't break up, but maybe you suggest the two of you take a break and do some growth or whatever and come back again. So it's not like a breakup, but it's taking a break. I'm thinking, and I'll let Jill and Mylon come up with their own little ideas, but what if you said to your mom, Mom, I am so upset with all of this that continues, and I just keep praying that it's going to end, but it doesn't end, and it's so senseless because we could have such a great relationship. Mom, I'm going to take a break from you for 6 months, and I just can't handle the negative stuff coming through. So I'm just going to see if things could get better. I hope that you'll find out what it is you're really angry about and resolve that during those 6 months so we can come back together and be like we've never been in the past years, where you have nothing but good things to say, and neither do I. So that's one idea. Jill, Mylon, what are you thinking?
Thank you, Steve. May I just interject, just take 10 seconds to interject? I said recently it escalated to really bad because she said, you're so skinny. Do you have cancer? And that's just, that's one. And another thing is she said, hey, why are you so always low on energy? Do you have multiple abortions? And the last time she hung out on me was last Sunday night. She just call me, well, I don't want to say those words, but their vulgarity, and she hung up on me. So that's what I meant. It escalated to level 8.
So Eileen, Kay and I just did, my wife Kay and I just did a webinar on what we call a safety pyramid, and it is discerning who are acquaintances, who are friends, and who are safe people. Your mom certainly isn't safe. And one of the things we tell people in that webinar is that everybody starts at the bottom of the structure of the pyramid. The vast quantity of people are at the bottom. Even family members, even moms and dad, she's not a safe person. And when that's the case, and a person is not safe, they're not even in that world of an acquaintance, friend, or safe person, I really check and have to ask the question, how much am I going to divulge myself to that person? How much am I going to extend myself, and what do I expect? And then what will I tolerate from them? And the bottom line is, because she's your mother, that is not a binding issue with respect to her disrespecting and treating you in a subhuman way. She is not a well person. And the Bible doesn't say we continue to subject ourselves to people that are not well and who hurt and abuse us. So I really want to encourage you to do what Steve said, although I would simply say this is unacceptable. I'm not having a relationship with you anymore. Don't call me again. If you do call me, it would have to be to apologize and explain your behavior. But I sense somehow, Eileen, you have a hard time telling her that.
You know, I really appreciate your sound advice, and I've been praying. I said, Lord, whatever you teach me through these wise panel of people, of counselors, I am willing to do. It's by my nature, I'm very non-confrontational, right. And I've been very forgiving, and always just extending her grace and grace and grace and forgiveness, and never confronted her. But I am more than willing to take your sound advice.
Okay, and so maybe a step leading up to what the guys are talking about would be, one, that you don't answer every phone call. Two, that you realize she's very chaotic and random and kind of picks you apart, really. I wouldn't get into any of the content that she's saying to you. I might say, Mom, I really wonder why you think it's okay to talk to me like that. And I also wonder, who do I remind you of in life? Because some of the things you say about me just really don't fit with how I see myself. So I really wonder if sometimes you see someone else when you're talking to me. Another thing would be, Mom, and use what you know of her childhood and things. Mom, sometimes I feel like how you must have felt when you were young. And you know what? That must have been awful, right? But I would start setting more boundaries with her when she starts going off and you can't engage in anything that is constructive, then I would say, you know what, I'm not able to talk anymore. Maybe we can talk another time. And you hang up and you practice hanging up more and setting those boundaries. And you can do it lovingly, but that will help set the stage. Either your mom will respond to that or you'll realize that you have to do more and take a bigger step back.
And Eileen, you still there?
Yes.
So
yes.
When you say, I've been forgiving and not confronting, things like that, there's another word that you've been. And really, it's not pretty. But I think you need to hear it. What you're doing is you're enabling her to continue something that's unhealthy for you and very unhealthy for her. And so we're saying maybe it's time that you not enable her by being available to her, see? And then she has to kind of look at what she's doing that led to this. She might not want to look at it, might be beyond her, but I think it's better than her just being unhealthy and you not responding appropriately. Which I hope that you will. Mylon, you have a thought here?
Well, you know what? I love what Jill, you nailed it. Steve, you're nailing it. But Eileen, it's more than just your mother. It's you. How do you protect you? How do you learn to be in a world where there's lots of people like your mom who can push and shove, but Eileen learns that it is not just forgiveness and grace that is taught in the Bible. There is also this concept of separating from unsaved people. And it's important for you to understand that Jesus was a victim and uttered no words out of his mouth only one day in his life. That wasn't his persona for the 3.5 years of his marriage. He was highly confrontational. So we have to understand that God wants you to be stronger for Eileen's sake.
Right, and really what you guys are saying, when Eileen, you say you're forgiving, you're really afraid to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you teach your mom that it's okay to treat you this way.
That's right.
And with all bullies in our lives, we have to push back. And sometimes when we push back, it's amazing how then they cowered,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not used to the pushback, and they bully those who allow them to bully them.
There was an old movie long ago that I'm saying is old a long time ago, Back to the Future. But, you know, when my kids were watching it, and the plot changed when McFly hit Biff.
Yes, it
you know?
Did.
Now, we're not suggesting you hit people, okay? But we're saying when you stand up to a bully, the plot changes.
Call their bluff.
Call their bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was being the man he was called
to be. That's right.
Not the wimpy guy.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. And Back to the Future. We, at our church, Northview here, we're doing At the Movies, and coincidentally, that was the movie that was being viewed this weekend, and the whole thing started with our pastor getting out of the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, really fun.
Eileen, thank you for your call, Eileen.
Yes, yes. I'm going to send you, how about I send you a copy of Restoration Bible. What would be good, Jill, that you'd like her to have?
Well, I'm thinking, even though the title is Forgiving Your Fathers and Mothers, and we're telling Eileen she needs to stand up more, I think it helps to define
what
forgiveness is.
Right, right. Yeah.
And so I'll send that, and I'm also going to send Take Your Life Back, because it's all about
That would be good.
You know, how to take care of your side of the street in a responsible way. I'm really glad that you called. Hope it was helpful there. All right, we're going to go to Sally here in Boca Raton, Florida. There's a New Life app. It's easy to find at the App Store, New Life Live, and she listens right there. So, Sally, how are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Great. I'm with Mylan and Jill, and I kind of can coast when they're in the studio.
What could be better, Mylan, right?
Yeah. How can we help you? What's going on in your life?
So my question for you is, what should I do? I've called you before regarding this situation. My husband and I have been together almost 30 years. He grew up in an alcoholic home. I am in recovery. My husband is not. But he has moved into the other room. And he's done this before for 6 months, back and forth. And he just decided he's going to move into the other room. Our biggest source of conflict has been my daughter, but she just started college this summer. But he's decided that he's going to move into the other room. And we did counseling for several years, but mainly focused on my stuff. We've gone to 2 intensives, but he's not willing to go to how we love. He's not interested in any intimate and nothing. No, we did Hope Restored, and then we also went to a place in California, but he's not interested, and he's like, this is who I am, take it or leave it, but this is not working for me anymore.
Yeah.
He allows the kids to be disrespectful, and then the last thing is he can't go more than 48 hours without getting angry with me.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We haven't been intimate for a while.
Okay. So, how many kids you have, and how old are they?
They're they're grown. My one child just graduated from college, and he moved, and he's got a job. He moved away. And my daughter is 18, and she just started college this summer.
Okay, when we come back, I want to hear why she has been such a source of conflict. You're listening to New Life Live. Glad that you are. Great Parenting These Adult Children workshop this weekend.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Sally. Really unhealthy situation now. The husband's moved out of the bedroom. Tell us about why this 18-year-old has been such a source of conflict.
I have been really consistent about wanting to raise our kids in a Christian way, and my husband is not so much. He's more like, oh, what's the big deal? Everything, what's the big deal? And then if he said something, he's not one to enforce it. So he's probably been more the good cop, and I'm the bad cop. And my husband became a believer when he met me. So I think sometimes he thinks, oh, every kid drinks. Every kid, you know what I mean? There's not the reinforcement. And I think that's been the thing. And I think that there's been an enmeshment is what it's been called.
Well, tell us about that. Yeah. What do you mean when you say enmeshment? Because that can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah, good question. So when we went to counseling, our counselor said, you know, we've worked on all the stuff with Deanna. You're very aligned with your daughter. Like, she's more his spouse than I am. And that was modeled for him in the alcoholic home. So he was more his mother's spouse than the alcoholic father. So he's just repeating. And then she, so she's definitely worked on that. And then she also got sick, but this happened way before. And then she got sick. She was sick for several years, but thank God she's okay. And and he had lost his job during that time, so he was with her a lot. But they're very similar. Very similar. I think he relates more with her as a teenager than he does with me.
Okay. Let's hear.
An avoider.
Let's start with you, Jill. What are you thinking here?
Oh, well, Sally, it sounds like your husband has always, you said, been the good one. And that's how he's identified. And you're describing, even with his own mother, he was the good one, right? And I think it does sound like you're right. With your daughter and he being similar and having spent so much time together, he was in a caretaking role, being at home with her. And so he's reenacting this with her. And it's easy to focus on someone. You said you're in recovery. I'm not sure what that's for, but it's easy to focus on the person who isn't doing things right, and to be really invested in being the good one. And when that changes, like you getting help disrupts that dynamic. And so he's protecting.
But I've been doing it for 10 years. I mean, I've been doing this a long time.
Okay.
I've been doing it a long time.
Okay. Okay. So, and he hasn't been willing to budge. Like, I think one of the best things for him would be to go to adult children of alcoholic meetings. I don't know if that's something that he would do. But even the big book of ACA is really, it's really good. That would be something that I would suggest you getting.
I'm in Al-Anon. I go to Al-Anon.
Okay, you go to Al-Anon. But if you get that ACA big book, it describes so much, and it might be a good resource perhaps to then share some things with your husband.
He's like, just leave me alone. This is who I am. Take it or leave it. He doesn't, I might get a token prayer every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I will say we had 10 years of a good marriage. but he doesn't want to be told what to do. He doesn't want, and I really don't say much. I don't say about my reading of the Bible. Now, we go to church, and he serves at church, but he is the charming one that everybody loves, thinks is wonderful. He will say a good talk, but it is not sincere. Mm-hmm. I mean,
okay.
He's sincere to them.
Let me just ask you about one quick thing. You say he doesn't like being told what to do. Has that been part of the way you guys have worked, is you telling him what to do?
I'm sure, probably in our earlier years, for sure. I'm open to whatever. He just doesn't, anything that I think, he thinks is ridiculous. And he'll tell me, and I said, we don't have to have the same opinion. You can have your opinion, it can be completely different. Let's just come up with a solution together.
Right.
He's like, nope, you're ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's like, we're not doing that.
Well, it sounds like to me he's totally given up on any kind of a life that's enjoyable, and especially given up on a marriage that could be enjoyable.
Sally, how rigid are you at home with the kids and marriage and church and structure and rules and stuff like that? How would you rate yourself on a 1 to 10, rigid being high, 1 being low?
I would say in our early part of our marriage, we were on the same page, and I was more of the rule follower. I am not now. Recovery has helped me. I just let most things go.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have said I was probably like a 9. I'd say I'm like a 3 now. But no matter what it is now, he still sees me as that 9.
That is a great, that's a great observation. See, so we're going to come back after the break, and we'll speak to that piece, because thank you for that good insight, and let's come back to that.
All right. You're listening to New Life Live, and we would love to help you. There is our seminar this weekend on adult parenting. Next weekend, emotional freedom, depression, anxiety, whatever you're struggling with, we're going to help you with it next weekend. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Sally, and a tough situation where one moves out of the bedroom of the other, and all sorts of other stuff going on there. Mylon, you had a couple of more things here.
Okay, Sally, I think we're really kind of moving into the hot spot right here. If your husband still sees you as that 9, and really now you think you're a 3, that's where your conversation begins. Sally says to your husband, I talked to some people on the radio today because I'm frustrated. And they asked me how rigid I have been in my marriage. And I said, early on I was a 9, but now I think I'm a 3. But I think you still see me as a 9. Do you think that's true? Because I don't want to be seen that way by you anymore. Because if that's the filter you're using to see me, I wish that we could change that filter. What do I have to do to help change that filter? And if you had a conversation with him like that, that would be a very different start to a conversation. Would you add anything to that, Jill?
Well, I think, you know, you've painted a picture, Sally, where he's not budging. Mm-hmm. And his life is working for him and even keeping you at arm's distance. Mm-hmm. So that means you have to do something different from your end. Mm-hmm. And you have to approach your conversations differently with him.
Yeah. I've said this on the radio before, and I'll say it again. Kay Warren at Saddleback Church said, "What's it like to be on the other side of me?" She asked people that because people were reactive to her reactivity. Our new senior pastor, Andy Wood, asked the same question in a different way. What's it like to be in my wake? You know, what kind of what's it like to be behind the boat that I'm in? What kind of a wake do I, and what's it like to be there? And to ask vulnerable questions like that, you know, what's it like to be around me? What's it like to have me be your dad? Ask him again.
I asked him that.
Keep asking him, Sally.
He said that I just needed to let him make all the decisions.
Well, see, but
and I said that really doesn't work for me.
But that's not a marriage, Sally.
Right.
See, and that's but where
we have a dichotomy. That's
sure.
Where we're
right.
We're
so that's where you were saying, at what point did he give up on the marriage?
Yeah.
And he's there. He lives there.
Yeah.
But he's not married to you.
Yeah. And I think Steve said that he's given up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where you have to acknowledge, so what's our reality? Mm-hmm. You see, if you've given up that you want to make all the decisions, we don't have a marriage. And you want to do it in very soft.
And he said, well, then we don't have a marriage. Then we don't have a marriage.
Okay, so then what are we going to do? We're going to be roommates the rest of our life? What are we going to do here? And how could
we? Because I don't care. You can do whatever you want. This is who I am. Take it or leave it.
Well,
like, he doesn't want to do anything.
Well,
this
Sally,
is who he is.
Sally, mm-hmm. I that's a really difficult mm-hmm. place. But when somebody is that dug in, I'm going to almost guarantee that there's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and a lot of history, and there is a lot going on. And, you know, there are historical issues here, you know, for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's not going to do something anymore. That's where a good therapist could help you. And it's going to be somebody that can really address that with him.
And I wonder, Mylan.
This is not interesting. So what do I do for me? Because, I mean, do I just keep living my life? Do I separate the bank accounts? I don't know. Because I still keep going to counseling, and I don't know what else to do anymore.
Yeah,
he's not interested.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, what were you going to say, Jill? Was there?
It's okay. It doesn't
fit. You know, that's the point I would leave him with, Sally. Then what do we do? What are we? Where do we go from here? We've been married 30 years. There is nothing. You don't want to change. You want to make all the decisions. Really, you're effectively ruling me out as a partner with opinions, thoughts, and feelings. And you're angry at me a lot. And so why are we still together? What is it that you want?
Mm-hmm.
And
I would even say, you know, I was thinking about what you said, and essentially you've declared that we are divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving into the other room, and you want nothing to do with anything that could be helpful. So it seems like to me you have given up, and you've said, I am not going to be your partner. And, you know, sometimes a person just wants it to be that and not have to face the reality of it. And so you literally might need to step up your game and get that bank account and all sorts of other things that show him you can't just be like a teenage boy and lay around the house here. You have to be a participant. I'm so sorry that of this is happening.
I know. And it's kind of like, in terms of you being the more rigid one, things have shifted. He's very controlling, and he's going to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that is a reaction to something for him historically. And if you can in any way speak to that, at least that's something.
Yeah.
All right.
Who do I remind you of?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, to your point in an earlier conversation with another caller.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I'm going to send you. Did she say she has How We Love?
I don't know.
I'll send How We Love, and I'll send also Take Your Life Back. I hope those will be helpful to you. And might want to, here, let me send you Jill's Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. You might want to leave that around, see if he might pick that up, because, man, there's something that has not been resolved. Well, speaking of resolve, I've never seen a guy with so much resolve as Larry Sonnenberg to help a ministry do great things and allow people that opportunity to be part of the greatness. Larry, what do you have for us today?
Well, Steve, that's a good opening, because this workshop we're doing Saturday on parenting for adult children came about because the need is there.
Yeah.
We get so many phone calls on this radio program with people that just don't know what to do.
Right.
So we're going to try to help them do something about it. And I want to read to you something that someone did the last workshop that we did on adult children. Here's what they said. Having the very first principle of the very first presentation begin with, "You're fired," was great and impactful. I needed to know that from the beginning. I learned something and felt freed from all the presentations. I now have many tools in my toolbox with which to navigate the relationship with my adult children. You know, I think it was Jim Burns that opened that workshop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he was telling these folks, you're not parenting them anymore. You're, yeah, they're old enough that they don't need this daily parenting. So you're fired. And it had an impact. It's like the previous testimony I read earlier, that you don't sugarcoat things, Steve. You tell it like it is. You know, and I think parents are in the situation because sometimes they have never done that.
Yeah.
And they want to be the control issue of their kids' lives way beyond how long they should be doing that.
You know, Larry, you were over in you were in Utah when Misty and I were speaking, and we were talking about giving up the teachable moments, and that was really hard for some people to hear. Well, teachable moments are great for an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, but at 27, to think that, oh, this is a great teachable moment, you're going to miss their heart. You're going to confirm what they believe, that you care more about what you think and believe than what they're going through. And so it's hard, but it's so helpful to know, maybe I need to give up teachable moments as well as being fired. Mylon, you wanted to say something there.
Well, for a lot of parents, they can't imagine that my role as a parent will stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't see it as something that is a phase within a marriage. Parenting is a phase or a period of time within a marriage, and it has a necessary ending.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents aren't prepared to separate from the child. They need that dependency, or they need to be in that relationship, and so they can't separate.
Mm-hmm.
It is frightening. It is scary. It's anxiety-producing.
It's painful.
It's painful.
You have to grieve.
I had a mom in my office one day just bitterly crying. She says, I don't know who I am. My three sons mm-hmm. have moved on. They don't need me anymore, and this is all I've done for 20 years. Who mm-hmm. am I? I said, that's the question.
Yeah.
Who are you? Because you are a person, even though you're not in that mother role anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the goal of exploration, is to find out who you really are. A lot of people don't think forward to this point, Larry. Mm-hmm. You're fired. They're always looking through the rearview mirror at the little kid in the back seat with a Happy Meal.
Yes.
Instead of looking out the front windshield saying, ah, you know, my child is now an adult, or they can drive, they can vote, they can do whatever.
And they need to be seen that way.
And they need to be seen that way. I'm still mm-hmm. stuck in the back seat with a Happy Meal as a parent.
Well, we'll help you this weekend. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to sign up for that workshop.
Steve,
and go ahead, Larry.
I got one more thing after the break I want to bring up about that workshop.
No, we don't have time.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Need some help, or you want to be part of some of these things that we are involved with. But Larry, you said you had a final comment here for us.
Well, I actually got two. One is just thank you for everybody who donates to New Life. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. We can't do what we do without it. And I just pray that you would pray to God just what you should do in your giving overall and as it relates to New Life. And let that be your source of what you're going to do. But about the workshop, I just wanted to comment on who's going to be speaking. Or I know you spoke of that earlier. You know, you and Jill are going to be there, and Jill's going to speak on the single parenting aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But Jim Burns is going to be there again. And Jim is... he's focused on this kind of stuff because his own ministry deals with that. And if you want to be fired from what you're doing as a parent of adult kids, come and hear what Jim has to say as well. It's a powerful lineup of folks, and you will be glad that you came. And Steve, you're speaking on something a little different, I think, in one session because we replaced somebody who couldn't make it this time, Richard Watts.
Yeah. So, well, here's the thing. I want to address the Jim Burns thing. What you want to do is retire your old parenting style before you get fired by your kids, which we hear all the time. You know, we hear that, we don't want you around, we're done. But when you go ahead and say, look, I have to give up the things I did at when they were 16, because now they're 36. It really can open some great doors of possibility, and that's what we want for everybody here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Appreciate that. You know, I wanted to mention that I have a thing that I hang on my wall along with some other stuff, but, you know, I'm a certified master life coach from the International Christian Coaching Institute. And so I was just talking with a guy before the program, and I think there might be something good here for everybody. And the first thing that I talked about was, what is your goal? You know, a lot of people quit asking that question. We've talked about somebody giving up here. What would you like in the next year or two? What is it you're going for? And then, what strategies have failed for you in going for that goal? Let's be honest and open. And then, what are the obstacles that are standing in your way, such as, what are you afraid of? Or, what are you so angry about you get paralyzed? I mean, these are things that a lot of times people don't deal with the strategies and the obstacles and what's standing in the way because they've forgotten to wake up in the morning and say, oh yeah, my goal for the next month, year, decade is this. So I really do believe that a lot of folks are believers and their goal is to get to heaven. And they've kind of missed a lot of really great life here because that's all that they think it's about. And so I want to encourage folks, if you are in that no goal, no life, no strategy, all roadblock place, we can help you get beyond that.
And Steve, I think a lot of people get stuck in their protest of making a statement, of digging the heels in. It's like, you need to see my pain. I need my pain validated. You need to hear me. And so they stay there, and they don't really even get to the point where they're asking themselves, what do they want this to look like down the road?
Yeah.
What is the goal? The obstacle becomes that they are so full of the feelings and making sure that somebody sees.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and that can be a historical protest.
Absolutely.
And a historical desire to be seen,
mm-hmm.
which keeps, you know, they're so focused on the present, they fail to see that the past is affecting how they feel today.
I know.
Well, I want to start a new 800 number, 1-800-VALIDATE. And so you call, and then I'll answer, and you'll tell me how bad things are. And I'll say, oh, man, I get it. Oh, that's horrible what you've been through. But then I'm going to say, now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Because you got to do something. I mean, the Bible is so cruel and yet so wonderful. It says, get rid of all bitterness, all anger, all resentment. That's so hard to do when somebody just told you they betrayed you for the 18th time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the gift, because you want to be free of these things that hurt nobody but yourself. Mm-hmm. And isn't it sad when we get those calls about somebody that's been angry and bitter, resentful, unforgiving for 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
Really, really tough. But so if your strategies haven't worked, if the roadblocks are too big, if the fear is there, and or anger and depression, something has paralyzed you, we have people that woke up this morning and said, I can't wait to get to work to help some folks. And they are at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And they love helping people. And it's not easy to ask for help. But when you do, I think you're going to be really, really pleased.
I was at the doctor's office the other day, and yes. I was leaving. They said, do you need validation? I said, no, I feel pretty good about myself today. And they just looked at me like, no, we're talking about your parking, you know?
Well, I think you made their day, probably.
Yes. I probably did. I hope they chuckled about that.
Isaiah 43:2, second verse of Isaiah 43, is some great encouragement for any of us who are in some kind of struggle. It says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. I got to tell you, I think the greatest thing I ever did in my life was to admit I had a few extreme limitations, that I couldn't do all the stuff I wanted to do. God's going to be with me even though I can't do it on my own and friends and family aren't enough. God is there. He is supernatural. There is nothing He cannot do. And we can trust Him. And He says He won't prevent the pain, but He will make that pain something with purpose and meaning. He will not waste any tears. And if you're at that place, we want to help you. We've got all sorts of things. There's Courageous Parenting this Saturday. Emotional Freedom is August the 20th. And then the Repurposed Life, brand new workshop that I wanted us to have. Because so many of us, we get it that we've been forgiven. Now what do we do? Or we're still stuck in unforgiveness, and I want to move you along, and let's get back to that original purpose. Intimacy in Marriage with Mylon Kay and myself, October 21 in Dallas, and Restore November the 11th in D.C. You can still sign up for the Rhine River Cruise, October 6th through the 13th. Go to newlife.com. You used to have to be vaccinated to go on that, but you don't anymore. And don't forget Lumina. It is the women's conference where women rise. And we're going to do that conference at the Museum of the Bible, November 3rd and 4th. Jen Wilkin, Nicole C. Mullen, Lauren Green McAfee, Ruth Mahatra, all of those folks are going to be there for a life-changing experience. We would love for you to come. Thank you, Larry, Mylon, Jill, all of you who support us. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.